It is Luke who records Jesus' first interaction with Peter, James, and John as being in a fishing boat. That Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee and that they step into it. And after Jesus teaches the crowd, he tells the disciples midday to put down their nets after they've caught nothing all night. Sound familiar? This is right where he found them the first time. In fact, it's probably one of the places they felt most comfortable. If you're a fisherman, where do you go? Fishing. And like you do when you fish with nets, you do it at night because it's a lot harder for the fish to see the nets at night. And if you were coming in from a long night of fishing, you might leave the nets out. But you know what side of the boat you'd leave them out on? The side with a shadow. That's where the fish hide. Jesus shows up here, right? Steps back into their story, finds them, I can only imagine, a little confused, unsure of what's happened. They've gone back to what they were comfortable with, what they could depend on. They feel competent as fishermen. Although, ironically, both times Jesus shows up on Galilee with them, how has their fishing been? Pretty poor to start out with. Maybe sometimes we find Jesus precisely in those areas of life where we find ourselves perhaps failing. Maybe even at the things that we are used to thinking of as the places where we get our value, the things that we might be best at. I think it's amazing that that's where Jesus shows up in these stories. And Jesus shows up in an interesting way, right? Do the disciples recognize him? Not at all. In fact, this is one of the things that is common to every single resurrection story, is that the disciples don't recognize the risen Lord. I think there's something very profound in that for us as followers of Jesus. Because we might come into this whole thing expecting that we will recognize Jesus when we see him. I don't think that's a very accurate expectation based on the text and history, that we might find Jesus showing up in all sorts of places we don't expect. Jesus appearing in ways that we might not have imagined. Jesus present in maybe the people around us who we might not expect to be Jesus. But Jesus is there on the beach and he says, "Little children." Little children. These guys aren't little children. They're grizzled fishermen. They're tough. Little children, have you any fish? Nope. Go fish. Try the other side of the boat. Like that will make any difference, right? Same thing when Jesus first meets them in the story in Luke. Put your nets down. We haven't caught anything all night, but I'll do it because you say so. And they do, and of course, it's miraculous. 150, the nets are all of a sudden so full that they can barely contain it. And I just love Peter's reaction to this. Like, who cares about the fish at this point, right? Peter bails as fast as he can right over the side of the boat. He is not waiting until they can row that boat in. Just such a beautiful, wholehearted response to Jesus showing up. I love that that's put here, especially since Jesus and Peter's relationship has been a little bit tenuous, right? Complicated might be a good word for it. Over the month and a half before this, Peter has said a lot of things, including promising to follow Jesus wherever he goes, even to his death. To a few hours later saying, "I don't know that guy. Nope, I really don't know him. No, I promise on my mother's grave I don't know him." And then seeing Jesus overhear that, that'd be pretty tough. But Peter still wants nothing more than to be with Jesus. He jumps over the boat, and of course, Jesus is showing up in the same way he showed up to them the first time. This is Jesus inviting them back into the inside joke, right? Like, you guys remember the last time? We'll do it again. And then he invites them, of course, to the table. Little children, I have fish and bread already prepared for you. Come, the Greek, the literal is break your fast. That's where we get the word breakfast, but it literally, eat. You are invited into this table that I have prepared for you. You may not have caught anything all night, but don't worry, there's plenty. What an invitation. I think it's one that Jesus still extends to every single one of us. This invitation to the table where Jesus has prepared precisely what we need, what we are actually and deeply hungry for, and says, come, little children, it's here waiting for you. He's, of course, offering his love, his presence, his own self. He's offering reconciliation and restoration, the hug that we all long for. After breakfast, he starts talking to Peter, right? Peter, do you love me more than these? Which, of course, begs the question, who are these? The fish? Maybe. I mean, fish were, of course, the way to making a living. Peter obviously loves Jesus more than the fish because he dove over the side of the boat and left the fish there. Peter, do you love me more than these? You know I love you, Lord. Back to the symmetry, right? Peter denied Jesus three times. Peter asked Jesus if he loves him three times, and each time says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then take care of my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Then feed my sheep. This story is so profound because God, and in fact, this actually combines a little, the story of Saul. When we pick up that story of Saul, what is Saul doing? Killing people. Zealously and passionately killing followers of Jesus. It says, breathing murderous threats. Like, if our breath is supposed to be breathing in God's Spirit and breathing out his life and love, Paul is doing the opposite. He is breathing out murder, destruction, death. When we find Peter in the story, what has Peter just been doing? Betraying and denying Jesus. Do these incredible, I mean, these stories are bad. Like, if you're Peter, if you're Saul at this point, this is not where you want to be. Where do we find Jesus stepping into these stories? Here's a table. I have everything prepared for you. The beautiful truth of these stories is that our stories are never beyond God's redemption. His ability to step in and transform, right? Peter denying Jesus three times gets transformed into Jesus calling Peter three times. Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Feed my sheep. Saul's being willing to kill anybody following Jesus gets transformed into Paul being willing to be killed. He is so passionate about proclaiming Jesus anywhere and everywhere. These stories show us that no part of our story is beyond God's ability to transform and redeem. That God steps in right where we're at, right in the middle of whatever messes we've been making, right in the middle of whatever ways we've been denying Jesus, right in the middle of whoever we've been hurting that we shouldn't have been, and finds us right there and invites us to the table, says, come on in. I've got something for you. It will change everything about your life. Instead of fishing for fish, I'm going to point you at fishing for people. Instead of caring most about how many fish you can catch and how much money they're worth and how much that will provide for you and your family, I'm going to transform you into caring more about the human beings you live around. Instead of trying to kill everybody following Jesus, I'm going to transform your life into trying to get every single person you can to know more about what this means. God meets us where we are. He doesn't leave us there. He transforms and redeems our stories, and he invites us to an open table. And I think this shows God's deep care and concern for each and every single one of his children, right? In fact, the one thing I really hope we don't miss from this story, do you love Jesus? Hope so. Yes, Lord. I'm your friend. I mean, there's actually some play in the Greek here. Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter's like, I phileo you, Lord. We're friends. You know the difference. The Greek agape is kind of a wholehearted love of, a phileo is more of a brotherly love, friendship. And Peter, do you agape me? Yeah, we're friends, Lord. What's fascinating about it is the third time, instead of Peter transitioning to saying, Lord, all right, I agape you, Jesus says, Peter, do you phileo me? Okay, Peter, are we friends? Yeah, Lord, we're friends. Jesus meets Peter where he's at in this. Beautiful. And he connects the dots, right? Peter, if you love me, if you phileo me, if we're friends, do what? Take care of your brothers and sisters. Take care of these fellow human beings you're sharing this planet with. Do we love our Lord? Then we'd best feed his sheep. That's the call. The truth is, we don't actually love God any more than we can't show we love God any more than taking care of the people around us. God isn't interested most in us proclaiming how much we love God if we're treating the sheep poorly, right? If you love me, take care of each other. If you love me, do what you can to care for, support, encourage, and love these fellow human beings you're sharing this planet with. This is how you show it. This invitation to the table that Jesus extends to his disciples, and I think this is beautiful, 153 fish is a lot. Peter is well equipped to feed some people at this point, right? He's been invited to a free breakfast. Not only that, but God has given him so abundantly that there is plenty of food to go around. Hey, add a few chairs to the table. Invite a few more people. Feed my sheep. God gives to each of us so abundantly that I think each of us has this capacity and space. If we're loved that much, we can share this love. We're not going to run out. This table is so well spread that we can give and invite freely, just as Jesus does. He doesn't only invite the disciples who haven't betrayed him. Peter's welcome. Come to the table. This is before they've reconciled. Come to the table. I think God is doing this to every single one of us every single day. God's incredible deep concern for each of us as his children, for each of our neighbors as his children. God's desire to involve us and invite us into that very process of God's work, of spreading the table. If you love me, feed my sheep. This is something worth getting up for. I will make you fishers of men. Instead of all those lower, Peter, you could catch fish till you're dead, and what have you done? Thinned out the lake a little bit. Let's point you at something so much better. The purpose of every single one of our lives isn't just being a pastor or an electrician or whatever it is God has us doing on a day-to-day basis. What God is after is calling us into this incredible and beautiful work of pouring out His love, of spreading this invitation, of inviting people to the table where life and love and all of God's abundance and grace are found. My prayer for myself and for you is that you would hear God calling you today, this week, that you would come to the table, and that as you feast on what God has prepared for you, that you would follow Jesus, that you would take care of His lambs and His sheep that you find in your life, just as He is caring for you. Amen. Join us in